Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
My name's Mick and I do hope you're well. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Mental Health Monday, episode 101. And we're going to meet somebody who's been on the programme before in episode 30, but they've got something new and exciting and interesting to tell us about. In fact, every time we invite people on, we always say, if there's anything updated or anything sort of new you want to tell us about, get in contact with the show. I'm very pleased to say Lee Pennington joins us back on the programme. Lee, great to see you. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me back.
The Open Door Centre, now you're on. It was a week I was away, actually, but you were speaking to Dave Easton about the work you were doing. First of all, tell us about the Open Door Centre, and then we're going to talk about this new Bloom building you've got up and running. So tell us, first and foremost, why Open Door was set up.
So we were set up, we opened in November 2011 with the aim to offer support around low mood, stress, anxiety, panic attacks, feeling down, feeling depressed, these sorts of things, tailored towards sort of people between like 15 and 30 in a way that looked and felt quite radically different to a lot of the other sorts of interventions and opportunities that are available to people. So some of them really tailored towards that demographic. And we opened them, it's about three immediate sort of creative therapeutic support and adapting leading interventions to be delivered in a model of a sort of peer mentoring and a shared experience and conversational format. But at the same time, it very quickly became aware that we'd need to recruit and train and upskill a great deal or a great number of volunteers and peer mentors to actually deliver those services. And then the third sort of key sort of strand that we've been building is around culture and music and the arts, and providing leading sort of culture and music activities and events and festivals and gigs in order to normalise discussions about mental health and take depression and anxiety and panic attacks and all of these issues outside of the clinical world and into creative and artistic and musical sort of sectors of the community, so that people have quite a different understanding of what these things are, the way in which people are affected, and what to do if you do feel like that. So that opened in November 2011, basically exploded really on the Wirral in a lot of ways, and it's reached a stage now with sort of Wirral's worst kept secret, where everyone seems to be aware of it, and we're supporting roughly about 50 people a week just with the support side of things. And it's exciting time. And then we've been presented the opposite. We've outgrew the last.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, how those fantastic work you're doing there. Tell us about the environment in which you were able to do that. What sort of buildings were you talking about?
So it was basically based in a little shop premises within Liscard in Wallasey on the Wirral, which when I first got the first bit of funding to open the charity, I thought, well, I'll get something small so that if no one comes, it doesn't feel empty. Which was fine for the first year or two when we were getting off the ground, but then very, very quickly became an issue that we were really constricted in what we were able to do. We've managed to remain free of waiting list and free of charge and meet these ever-increasing numbers up to this stage, but that was just a site which, although it's been brilliant for us and very affectionate in the memories of what the charity achieved within there, very, very quickly it's a case of that's hindering what we're able to do. At the same time, as like the organisational reputation and everyone's knowledge base, you hear about the Open Door Centre and then they turn up and think, oh, I expected something a little bit bigger or more expansive. So all of these things presented an issue which we've been able to sort of address by since November last year. And in terms of looking, we had broad aims of what we wanted to achieve and where we wanted to go, and then we were given the opportunity towards the end of last year to make that a reality and do something that's quite radically bigger and different.
So I got an email through saying, oh, the Open Door got some new premises, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, they've been on the show before. They'll have annexed the place next door. They'll have moved in. They'll have expanded. And then suddenly I saw images of what looked like a warehouse, and I thought, oh wow, this is going to be a huge undertaking. But within a matter of months, you turn the space around and to the point where you're able to open the doors. And this is the founding of the Bloom building. Just explain where that is.
Yeah, so that's it's in just outside the Hamilton Square area by Birkenhead Priory, 5 minute walk from Hamilton Square, which it's an industrial sort of warehouse space. Which we are repurposing, and we've sort of split into sort of subsections within that. so it's we needed to move somewhere more central to the Wirral. You know, Liscard, I grew up in Liscard, and that, so to me it's not a problem, but to a lot of people it's not the most accessible place in the world, and you know, it's not on the train route, and we needed to move somewhere more central. But the idea was, yeah, we could make a bigger open door centre anywhere, we could, you know, but we wanted to do it in a way that really allowed us to maximise the work and give a platform to the work that we do around culture and music and the arts, and really present what is essentially, we hope, going to be a nationally sort of focused example of good practice in how the world of culture and the arts and music can co-inhabit and work closely and achieve bi-directional impact with the world of mental health and social action. So that's our ultimate grand aim, and what that looks like project-wise is going to become more apparent in the coming months and years. So, but at the same time, you know, which is something that I'm sure a lot of the organisations you speak to in this sort of work, independent charities, you live in via grant fundraising, hand-to-mouth sort of situation, which isn't sustainable and isn't a healthy model of running an organisation. So we thought, well, when we're growing, let's do so that we're not jumping into something we can't maintain. Let's jump into a model of work in which we couldn't have had before, which is looking around generating revenue outside of grants. So looking at grants and commissioning and social return and social enterprise and maybe licensing out our services and all this different stuff that behind the scenes, what we've got now is a much more resilient organisation that can move into the coming years in a quite a healthy and healthy and sustainable way.
Tell me about the building, because if someone said, it's a warehouse at the back of Camel Laird, some people might go, oh, right, oh, they used to have a nice little shop, didn't they? But you've pimped it up. It's fair to say you've given it a lick of paint, and you brought in some artists to make this work. So the building's really going to stand out, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty loud, to be honest. But that was the whole thing. We want to take mental health and the discussion and support around mental health, and not like shy away and not say, oh, it's over here and come. It's like, let's take it into people's faces. Let's make it bright. Let's really make a statement with it. So that's permeated to the outside and inside of the building. But the way in which it works, so the Bloom building is a brand new sort of, hopefully a central landing point for progressive conversations around mental health, not just from ourselves, from partner agencies who might use the space, from people hosting meetings, people meet, as well as being very much a public facing cool speciality coffee shop that, you know, hopefully has got a lot in common with the sort of trendy sort of Baltic Triangle aesthetic sort of organisations. But then the anchor tenant of the Bloom building, so we're taking up pretty much half of the footprint, is the Open Door Centre, and it's sort of quadrupled in size, the capacity of the Open Door Centre, which it needs to, because we're going from supporting 300 people last year with our support interventions to double at least, so that'll be 600 people this coming year. So we needed this space, and it was that sort of tipping point time as well that we got good news about being, we've always worked alongside statutory agencies and statutory partners in terms of referrals from GPs or CAMS or whatever it may be. That's something that we were able to formalise towards the end of last year, so we've now got existing sort of commissioning relationships that we can sort of build on, which means, although we've always been sort of, one of our most attractive things is that we've been independent and sort of working in a different way to the norm, so to speak. Now this means that, yeah, that's not going to change. Just because we're sort of part of NHS provisions as such, it just gives us capacity to be more different and to continue doing what we're doing in our independent way in a healthier, much more scalable way.
And I guess as well, it's confirmation that you're doing the right things and that people in the know are looking at you and going, oh, that, well, that's the sort of environment that I'm happy to refer those young people to as well.
Exactly.
In terms of the work that you can do inside the Bloom building, what sort of person might come through its doors?
So, you know, the central London area, which is Bloom Coffee, anybody's meeting friends, you know, hosting a meeting, wants to get out of the office. We've got a lunch menu which is starting on Monday. You know, enjoy some of the best sorts of coffee and sorts of meeting space and social space and hot desking if you're working on your laptop, which is in and around the sort of Wirral area. But at the same time, we were doing a bigger, more expansive version of the Open Door Centre. So we've got the young people and young adults who are accessing support, maybe the people who are accompanying them to sessions might be using the space. Bloom Coffee is not the waiting room for the Open Door Centre, but it very much enhances it by living these two fairly separate in other areas, parts of the communities, to make sort of one sort of quite unique whole.
I guess you've made the decision there when you've talked about the space and looked at the space and how you're going to make the space work, that you've gone to create a destination.
Yeah.
You've gone to create a space which isn't just going to be, if you need to go here, go here. You're almost saying, look, just come here. If you're using our services, brilliant. If you're coming for a coffee, great. If you need a hot desk because you're working and you're waiting on a meeting for an hour and a half, come here as well. That's making it a destination. And that's part of that normalization, isn't it? Normalization of the conversation about mental health. That you might go, tell you what, where should we go? Should we go to Bloom for a coffee?
Yeah.
Even if you're not even thinking about mental health, but just in the fact that you're acknowledging the existence of the building and the services it offer, it almost tells you that you're, you know, people who are heading down there are a little bit further along the mental health journey, if you like.
100%. And it's that thing of, say, I mean, I haven't touched on much on it's dual purpose. So it's a music venue putting on touring artists and festival, thinking of festivals in the evenings. You know, people will come to those events and those activities with little, they're not going to engage in conversations about mental health, but they're stood in a gig venue, which is bricks and mortar wise and sort of interesting. You actually stood in the shadow of the one of Whittle's leading sort of mental health support organisations, which, even if you don't discuss that with your party who you're with, you leave and think, well, I didn't think mental health would sit there within the community, or I didn't think things like that happened. I thought mental health was the realm of doctors and clinics and vice versa. You know, the culture, sort of the world of culture, doesn't ordinarily sit within that sort of world. So it's sort of bi-directional what we're trying to explore.
But you've not crashed the two together, have you? You've obviously used experience to find out actually these are quite nice bedfellows.
Yeah. Completely, because the links are numerous. You know, you've got the whole idea of the tortured artist and throughout the mental health and music being interlinked, as well as, you know, the therapeutic capacity of music. You know, and all these different angles and the way that people like Calm, you imagine you've probably had on and got engaged with, and the way they link in with music festivals and culture outlets. It's very much a link which is already there, but hopefully, what we're doing is providing a really unique sort of example of how, okay, we all know the links there. Let's make a thing of it and let's celebrate that. And let's see that how by celebrating it and how by doing what we're doing, how we can enhance culture offering on Whittle at the same time as enhancing mental health support and opening up new progressive conversations at the same time.
Lee Pennington's with us for Mental Health Monday from the Open Door Centre, which is now based at this new Bloom building, which is just in the shadow of the Camel Shipyard. And we'll get links up on our social media. They've been open since, was it the 4th of February you opened your doors?
Last Monday, yeah.
I'll just give you the full official definition of the Open Door Centre. You ready for this? Correct me if I'm wrong. A modern support service for young adults feeling depressed, anxious, stressed or suffering panic attacks, based on a membership format, is free to join and is open to 15 to 30 year olds. Members can access a range of services as many as often as they like, including creative therapeutic support, numerous different activities within music and the arts, unique training and volunteering, and much more. Membership is free with no waiting lists. This is a charity by young people for young people. Drop in for a coffee or a gig and find out more on the website. And you've got a launch event coming up on the 28th of February. Is that right, Lee?
Yeah. Thursday the 28th. So that's the sort of launch of the venue. So we've got a gig which we're doing with Bido Liso Music Magazine and the Whittle New Music Collective. And it's a good lineup. Local artists. We've got Dan Disgrace, Anna May and Podge. Which, you know, that'll be a good introduction to see the sort of the nighttime version of the Bloom building, which we haven't been able to see yet. But and then we've got all sorts planned, like hopefully there's some sort of festivals we're going to be linking in the future around the summer. And I mean, in terms of programming, we're not going to be programming like an academy with gigs every night at first, at least. And we're just going to see how it progresses and do regular sort of gigs and link in with different promoters and do bits and bobs, but that's open to the public.
Like, when people hear about sort of the creative industry, the music industry, the arts, they'll think about, you know, the gig and the bands and things like that as well. But the creative side of things is something you really focus on and will continue to focus on as part of the Bloom setup.
In terms of,
you're going to do, like, is it origami? You're going to
Yeah, sorry, like? Yeah. So each week, in addition to we've got our core sort of offer of the support and then the training and the mentoring, the social action activities, but we do like a regular sort of timetable of different activities each week, which, yeah, exactly, it's centered around a sort of creative version of mental health related activities. So we do weekly mindfulness classes, which are on a Monday at 5 o'clock. We do origami mindfulness classes, which they're not on this week, but they're starting again next week. But all the details will be on the social media channels around that. We've got something on a Friday, which is a therapeutic dance and movement class, and other bits and bobs from time to time. So again, socials are the our main sort of mouthpiece for stuff like that.
And you find all the links on the social media. We'll get links up on our social media, but if you type in Open Door Centre or the Bloom Building, you will get all the information about Lee and the work that he's doing down there as well. In terms of the people that you're dealing with, obviously you've had that period of time now where you've had a number of years. What sort of interaction do you get with people who maybe went through the service 3-4 years ago? Do they come around now to see how you've kind of expanded your services?
Yeah, it's strange how you realise how long we've actually been there. It was like, you know, a lot of when we opened, say a youngster came in, now they're sort of, say if someone's 16 then, they're like 20, 23, 24 now. So it is strange when you bump into people and you think, oh, you know, yeah, it makes the 7.5 years that we've been going seem a very very long one. But it's exciting, you know, when you know the people are doing better, and you know you've as an organisation played a part in that. I mean, something that we always, one of the key parts of the charity which got us where we are, it's not a case of once your support's over, then it's like, okay, we'll see you around. You know, we very actively encourage people to remain engaged with the charity, maybe going straight into the training side of things, or remain engaged with the mindfulness or the origami or whatever it may be. So we do keep people involved and keep people as, you know, as central as we can within our work moving forwards. Like, but it is, yeah. It's good when you know that you've had an impact, and then you can see that over a long period of time that person's really embedded what you've gone through, because that's the nature of CBT. The time goes on, you get better and better better at thinking like that and putting all these tools into practice. So if people are maintaining and feeling good, then you know that you've had a good impact, and it's nice.
And of course, as well, what you've done in creating the space and the way you've done it is you've created that environment where people will think, well, it was only a small place before and I don't want to be taking up the time, or I don't need to see them anymore, so I don't swing by anymore because I know that they're very busy. In creating that space, and we talk again about the phrase normalization, about sort of connotations around mental health. In creating that space, you know, it's not like you're graduating from the services that you offer, but if you do, you can still have the work that you've done very much as part of your life. It can still be your Saturday afternoon coffee place. It can still be your Saturday night or Sunday night, you know, gig space.
Yeah,
and very much it's almost like a little reminder to yourself, if you like.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, and it is essentially the same organisation. I mean, we used to be hamstrung size wise. You know, the people, if you did want to keep coming back for a coffee, we had to sort of assign that a certain purpose, because when you've got a living room size space, you can't just have people coming for meetings and hosting the meeting in there and then people coming in around that. It's just not practical. So we did set up coffee morning space so people could remain coming in and all that. But this is just a complete game changer in terms of what we can do on that side of things in the coming years, because now we've got an absolute abundance of space. So that's something that'll be the challenge in the coming months to fill it. But we've noticed, like, because we've now got 9 or 10 standardised sort of one-to-one support spaces, which is like garden sheds, which are all mural, covered in murals and bits and bobs. And I thought, okay, well, that'll do us for the next 5 or 10 years, you know, that many. Because we've gone out of where we were, having two standardised spaces and then one garden shed and a cupboard with a window in it. So, but then on Friday last week, we had 6 sheds being used at the same time around peak hours. So I think it's a case of, once you've got the space, you'll live in it and you'll fill it. So we might be on the move sooner rather than later, or adding more mezzanine floors in and doing it that way. But
already looking to expand. You mentioned the, you know, sustainability though. Do you feel like the model that you've got now is a sustainable model?
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. You know, the our commissioning relationships aren't huge, but it's very reflective of what we can deliver and offer to the partnership that we're part of. The stuff around, so our therapeutic model, we used to take the leading CCBT, which is available sort of nationally, which is of course called Beating the Blues, and we'd pay a license fee for X amount of uses of that program. And it was what it was, but over time, in association with the members or the people who have accessed or accessing our charity, we designed our own sort of intervention that we rolled out for the past year, which is just, you know, again, a game-changing moment in terms of it looks and feels like the organisation. It's still got that standardised therapeutic sort of core intervention around CBT and around mindfulness and stuff. But that's something we've just protected the intellectual property of with a view now, in the same way that we were licensed out Beating the Blues. We've just received funding to sort of look towards licensing that out ourselves. So increasing our footprint from very much a localised Wirral Merseyside based sort of impact footprint to targeting localised universities, Manchester University, London, anywhere where you got the same issues and the same demographic, and that will generate revenue which ultimately will support people on the Wirral and in Merseyside to a greater degree. But again, very exciting that angle that we can we think that the charity can be a model of best practice, not just in the culture and arts, living with mental health and social action angle, but also in the way that charities run and the way that a way to think of a charity as a business in some ways, in other ways they're absolutely not, but in other ways they've got inputs and they've got expenses, and you know, you've got the same questions of profits and loss and paying staff and stuff like that. So hopefully we can share how this goes, and hopefully over the coming years, and that's something that other charities can take and run with and learn from, and you can share good practice around that.
Anything else you need to make it work, to make it a continued success?
Ooh, that's a good question. Don't know.
Is it about community support? Is it about people making Bloom part of their Saturday afternoon, going in for a coffee?
Well, yeah. Yeah, definitely, because it's not going to work unless the public sort of embrace what we're doing, and sort of it becomes the destination that we hope and think that it will. So, yeah, that's the one thing. Yeah, encourage people to come and see it, and hopefully come back again if it fits with everything that they're looking for, and get involved that way.
Brilliant stuff. Now, since you were last on, and people want to see episode 30's image of you from when you were last on, when Dave Eason was presenting the show, I was away that week. You've grown a beard. Now, you've started selling coffee. You've instantly grown a beard. People will now get a sense that this is becoming this will be a hipster coffee shop. are the two linked? Have you got to have a cool beard to run a coffee shop?
I think the beard was as much to do with me. My baby Benny was born, but also when I got the keys at the start of December for the warehouse, so I've basically been living in there, so emerging as like a wild man with all their dishevelled and the like. So I think it's a mixture of that and I was trying to.
They never let go of the day, these babies. When they get older, the beard, they don't let go at all.
No, not at all. No,
they really go for it.
I think it's got to go at some point. But,
Keep it on until at least the 28th with the official launch of the Bloom Building from the Open Door Centre. Like, it's brilliant work, and I think people, if they Google it and just go on the website, look at the social media, they'll look at the they go, oh right, oh wow, that's something a little bit different, even just the exterior of the building.
Well, and that's exciting for us because we as an organisation, and it's not the Lee. So it hasn't been that for many, many years. You know, it's very much a team enterprise, and we as an organisation have been shouting quite grand ideas about change and cultures and stuff like that around mental health for a number of years, but now we feel really lucky and really excited by the fact that we've got a building that looks and feels like the place where these expansive ideas can really sort of take root and become sort of reality. So the look and feel and the environments that we do our work in and that we, you know, work out of, it's fundamentally crucial to what we're doing. So yeah, we're excited and the feedback's been good. So
excellent stuff. I'm sure it's going to be a huge success as well. Congratulations on getting so far, opening your doors as well, a big launch on the 28th as well. For the Bloom Building from the Open Door Centre, Lee Pennington, thanks for joining us on the programme today.
Thank you very much.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.